I noticed there was a strange coin that the lady, the clerk, had put in my hand. And when I looked more closely at it, I saw that it was a rare steel penny, not a copper, a steel Lincoln penny minted in 1943. I knew that it was worth about $50. And when I mentioned it to her, she asked for it back. Now, being a minister and a true man of the cloth, righteous and holy, I said, dream on, girl.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Do you ever look at a task that is seemingly impossible, maybe something your boss tells you to do, and you're thinking to yourself, the chances of me being able to pull this off are somewhere between slim and zilch? Well, today we're going to be reminded that those are the very times when God really has a chance to come through. Here's Pastor Wayne Cordero with a message entitled, Against All Odds.
In 1996, all of the odd makers and probability forecasters all agreed that a man by the name of Lee Capps should surely have been dead. Reason? Well, he took off with a pilot friend of his from a private airport in Washington and in a little private airplane, but when they got to cruising altitude, his friend had a massive heart attack and died. Problem? Lee Capps had never flown an airplane before in his life. So mustering up all the courage he could, he pulled his friend off the controls, grabbed the microphone, began yelling hysterically for help as the plane began to tilt towards ground. Just then an air traffic controller heard his cries and wanting to try and calm things down, he replied, "Okay, I hear you," he said, "and I understand that you might be having a problem here." He screamed back and he said, "Help!" He said, "Well, I've got good news for you," the air traffic controller said. "I'm also a flight instructor. Would you be interested in a quick flight lesson?" Lee Capps yelled back, "Tell me everything and tell it to me fast." So the flight controller proceeded to give him a few instructions on basic maneuvers and how to keep the plane leveled off and get it under control. So finally, when he did, the air traffic controller said, "Now, Lee, here is your most important lesson. You're going to have to apply everything you've just learned without any exception. Because now you're going to have to land this thing. It's your only hope." Well, as he talked him through it, as you can imagine, it wasn't the most graceful approach. Didn't even look like an airplane coming in. It looked more like a drunken goose coming off of a staggering night on the town. It was a long shot, and it was against all odds. But Lee Capps not only landed the plane, he walked away with only minor injuries. Afterward, the press asked the air traffic controller what the odds were that an untrained amateur could land a plane on his first try and walk away. The air traffic controller replied, "I knew it was a long shot, but Lee Capps, against all odds, did it." There's some people in our society that actually make their living by predicting the odds against something happening. People, for example, who might do life insurance or actuary tables or even stockbrokers to a large extent are probability kinds of people that forecast these things. And other people who make a living by forecasting and mathematical probabilities, why, they could tell you the odds against you living to 100 or what the odds are for you to make 95 or 91. They'll also tell you that it's 10 times more likely to get injured riding a bicycle than you would even driving a car. And they can tell you that in Hawaii, you are 57 times more likely to have your Honda Civic car stolen than you would if you were driving a Dodge Neon. And they'll tell you that if you're still driving one of those Ford Pintos, you can actually leave your keys in the ignition. Because it's mathematically impossible for it to get stolen. The odd makers were dead wrong about Lee Capps. The odd makers in Jesus' day were wrong too. The ones who rejected him to the point of putting him on a cross. They had no idea how much their plans would backfire. Because though they thought they stopped Jesus and stopped what he wanted to do, still today we can see that hundreds of millions of lives have been utterly transformed by the grace and the power of Jesus Christ. In fact, this last Tuesday night, I went to one of our state's prisons to visit. And I went over there and spoke to some men. And they brought out about 100 of them. And as they sat there, you can tell that these men all had odds stacked against them that they would ever amount to anything. But when they heard the gospel, when it was concluded, over 50 of those 100 men raised their hands to give their hearts to Jesus Christ to receive another chance by the grace of our Lord. And their lives were changed against all odds. Isn't that great? Over 50 of them said yes to Jesus Christ. You see, God loves to turn the tables on odd makers, and he loves to surprise us by his grace. And when odd makers think that God is somewhat irrelevant, the wisdom of God is unmatched and unparalleled. Let's read at the top of our notes, and you'll see what I mean. Let's read it. Ready? Go. And the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. See, the Bible says, eye has not seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared, even against all odds. Because if the truth were known, there's a lot of us here gathered in this place who feel every day that the odds are stacked against us. Some feel like they have nothing left to contribute due to some financial setback or a loss of job. Maybe you feel devalued by events or past mistakes. Or maybe you're a person who feels like that something in their life just got broken somewhere during their growing up years, through a molestation or some other problem. And now you just think it's too late. So you just walk around like damaged goods and your spirit plummets to the ground. And eventually you just stop believing that you can beat the odds that are stacked against you, that you'd ever amount to anything. If you find yourself described in one of these scenarios, would you just hear the Lord say to you today, don't give up. Don't do it. And like the air traffic controller said to Lee Capps, but you got to make a move. You've got to do something now with the instruction that you've been hearing and learning. You've got to put it into application. So today, let me be that air traffic controller for you. Let me give you some basic instructions in beating the odds that the enemy would stack up against you. But let me begin with a little story. Some years ago, I was shopping at a local supermarket, and when I received my change, I noticed there was a strange coin that the lady, the clerk, had put in my hand. And when I looked more closely at it, I saw that it was a rare steel penny, not a copper, a steel Lincoln penny minted in 1943, which I knew that it was worth about $50. And when I mentioned it to her, she asked for it back. Now, being a minister and a true man of the cloth, righteous and holy, what do you think I said to her? I said, dream on, girl. You know, all of a sudden, that which was worthless became very precious when what happened? Its value was recognized, yeah. You see, it was worth that much But until she recognized it, it was worth only a penny. So what's the first basic instruction in living a life that is victorious against all odds? Number one, here's the first. Raise your own value. Raise your value to match God's value for you. Raise your value. Because you see, a lot of times through course of events, negative or demeaning words, we lose our sense of value. You don't realize how precious you are to God's plan and that you have a part to play. But a lot of times we don't think we've got much to contribute, so we don't volunteer, we don't get involved, we just kind of wait and sit in the grandstands. And God is saying, you don't understand how valuable you are to my plan. But when we get devalued, when we don't think we have much to give, whether it be through past mistakes or whatever, then what happens is we start bailing out. We bail out of relationships. We bail out of marriages. We even bail out of potential successes or potential things that could even increase us if we got involved. But because we give up and our spirit lopes even before we get involved, then we fall victim to our own devalued perspective of ourselves. And we start bailing out of all kinds of possibilities, potentialities, even marriages and relationships, families, and if you take it to its fullest degree, even life itself. Did you know that in America, the third leading cause of death between those 15 years of age and 24 is suicide? In fact, according to the Center for Disease Control, this last year, 30,000 lives were taken by suicide. Do you know that that is more than that which died by homicides in the U.S.? You see, one of the most important steps in defying the odds that often face us is we've got to start seeing things, ourselves included, the way God sees events and people and things. You look throughout the Bible, how God loves to turn the table against all odds. And when we see things as they appear, our faith and spirit drops. But when we start seeing things maybe the way God sees them, it's the beginning of miracles against all odds. Look at the time when the children went up to the Red Sea and they thought, this is a dead end. Pharaoh's coming this way. We're in the middle. We're hash. We're roadkill. We're finished. And the Lord said, would you stop seeing things the way it appears and start looking at it the way I see it? Watch, all of a sudden, whoosh, and they went through the Red Sea on dry land. It was Gideon when God whittled him from 32,000 warriors down to 300. And against the host of Midianites, against all odds, he was victorious. God loves to turn the tables. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elisha had his servants saying, look at all of the enemies coming up against us. We are finished. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, would you open his eyes so that he will see things the way you see them? All of a sudden, God opened his eyes, if you remember, and all of a sudden, he saw the hills ablaze with chariots of fire and the warriors of the Lord. You see, often we see things the way they appear. But God says, would you raise that value and start seeing yourself and things the way I see them? David did that with Goliath, didn't he? Goliath was this ugly thing, 9-foot-plus giant. And he started cursing the Israelites. Now, due to his ominous size, all of the Israelites began to tremble. And they hid under rocks and under caves and thickets and bushes and trash cans and drain pipes and all of those things. I think that's what it says in my Bible. I can't remember. But... close. And he began to taunt the armies. And David said, who do you think you are? Now, Shrimpo David, right? Against 9-foot ugly. And he said, who do you think you are taunting the armies of the living God? Now, did they look like the armies of the living God? No. with their head in their sand, in the sand, and their opposite end sticking up. And they didn't look like the armies of the living God. They looked like chickens. But yet David said, how dare you taunt the armies of the living God? Because of that, I will defeat you against all odds. And you know, God honored David's faith. Why? Because David chose to see things not as they appeared, but as God saw them. And when that happened, a faith was ignited and miracles were about to be released. It's a prerequisite. And as soon as that happened, God loaded David's slingshot with a divine jet propulsion rock. And he whipped that thing into a frenzy and whoo, let that thing go. A rock hit him right between the eyes, and right before his lights went out, I think the giant said something like, man, nothing like this has ever entered my mind before. And he was down. Deuteronomy 31 says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified, because God goes with you. And let's read what he says about our value in Luke 12, 24. Ready? Go. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap, and they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. God is saying, look at your value. Recently, I was with a father that showed me how easy it is for us to devalue one another and often devalue ourselves. But this came in the form of a father that the only time he spoke to his 13-year-old son, it was like a drill sergeant yelling at a buck private in boot camp. And when he would yell at him, I could just see this boy's physical appearance wither. And because he was a bit embarrassed because I was there, he looked over at me and his eyes were screaming silently. It was like he was crying out with the words, can you do anything to spring me from this? Or do I have to live like this? Is there any hope against all of these odds? And I felt as horrible as he did. If you find yourself in that situation, if you're a son or a daughter, I can only say to you this one thing. Don't give up. Don't do it. Because I know exactly what that feels like. My father and mother got divorced when I was 8 years old. It was a messy divorce and they split us up. That didn't work. We went back with my dad. That didn't work. So at 13 years old, I was put on a Greyhound bus alone with one suitcase and a one-way ticket, 600 miles away to a boarding school. And I was on my own at 13 years old on the street. Bad went from bad to worse when I got kicked out of that boarding school. So I was put into a public school. And I dropped out of that one. And I went to a town 200 miles away, and I began playing music in a rock and roll group. But it was then that someone told me about Jesus Christ. At that time, I felt about as valuable as soiled shirts on a clearance rack. I mean, I was just nothing. I thought, what am I going to do? But when Jesus Christ came into my heart, it was as if God reached down into my heart and switched the price tags, my value for his, and something took place. Even though I inherited just a host of devalued kinds of sentences that ran over and over, played again and again on my internal radio station, God changed the station. And with this next verse, I think you can understand why, to me, this next verse is one of the most precious in the Bible. Would you read it with me? Ready? Go. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Isn't that a great verse? You see, the enemy's ploy is to devalue you so that you'll give up and bail out. That's why Daniel 7:25, which alludes to the adversary of our souls, and he speaks about the deceptive acts of the enemy to devalue you. And let's read Daniel 7:25 together, and you'll see what I mean. Here we go. And he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. Would you underline that last part? Wear down the saints of the Highest One. Or to devalue you. He wants to wear you down. That picture comes from an illustration or a picture of a coin. A coin that has been imprinted or minted with the image of a Caesar or an emperor of some kind. And simply by reason of use and commerce, by exchanging hands and going from this bag of coins to this one and this hand to that one. After a while, the image on that coin gets worn down. Now, in those days, that coin was worth the amount of gold or silver that it was minted with. So if this was, a $10 gold coin, it was $10 worth of gold in those days. But if in exchanging with commerce, exchanging money for goods, and the merchant would look and see that the image of that that person or the emperor was worn down, then what they would do is they would take, and you've seen those money scales in Bible times, they'd take a weight that's precisely measured what that coin should be in weight when it was minted. They'll put that weight there and they'll take your worn down coin and put it on the other side of the scale. And if it should be just a bit lighter, then he'll calculate it out and the merchant would say, your $10 coin is worth $8.75. You still owe me another dollar. How much is it? $1.25? Because it has been worn down. And there's not as much gold in it as was when it was minted. So it is worth less than when it was minted. So you have to pay the difference. In the same way, Satan's ploy is to wear down the image of your Creator that you were minted in. Because he made us in his image. But after a while, just by reason of life, some mistakes and edges that we bump into, that image gets worn down and we feel more like an excuse than anything else. Then you don't even feel worthy enough. You don't feel worthy enough to go to church. You don't feel worthy enough anymore to be a father. You don't feel worthy enough anymore because of some mistakes and some exchanges and some problems. You don't feel worthy enough to be a mother anymore. You don't feel worthy enough to be a Christian. You don't feel worthy enough to get involved and to serve. In fact, you feel worthless. Yeah, worthless. And so then what do? We surrender to the victimhood and we give in to the odds stacked against us and our spirit drops. And we live in that low-grade fever of worthlessness. Now, that is a deception of the enemy, and I want to expose that today. And if you're feeling that way, that you'll just drop out, let me just say this, don't do it.
I come to glorify you. Identify with you. Speak your name. My own.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Against All Odds by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast, and Pastor Wayne will begin to expose some of the enemy's tactics and show you how to fortify yourself against the onslaughts of the enemy. Do not miss tomorrow's broadcast. Words of New Hope is heard each day at this time and sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship Oahu. Thank you for listening, and until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
I come to glorify you, identify with you, speak your name. My own, I come to crown you King. praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. I come to crown you King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.